Prayers for Creative Energy, text 43. Sharva Veda Mayenedam Atmana Atmatma Jonina Prajaha Shrija Jatha Purvam Jas Cha Mai Anuserate. Sarva Veda Mayenedam Atmanatmatma Jonina Praja Shrija Jatha Purvam Jascha Mai Anuterate Sarva Veda Mayenedam Atmanatmatma Jonina Praja Shrija Jatha Purvam Jascha Mai Anuserate. By following my instructions, you can now generate the living entities as before, by dint of your complete Vedic wisdom, and the body you have directly received from me, the supreme cause of everything. This verse doesn't have a purpose, so I'll go to the next one, which is actually the last verse of this chapter. So text 44, Maitreya Ubacha Tasma Evang Jagat Srishte Prodhana Purusheshwaraha Vyajedam Svena Rupena Kanjanabhas Tirodhat Kanjanabhas Tirodadhe. Translation: the sage Maitreya said, after instructing Brahma, the creator of the universe, to expand the primeval Lord, the personality of Godhead, in his personal form as Narayan, disappeared. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. Before his activity in creating the universe, Brahma saw the Lord. That is the explanation of Chatushloki Bhagavatam. When the creation awaited Brahma's activity, Brahma saw the Lord. And therefore, the Lord existed in his personal form before the creation. His eternal form is not created by the attempt of Brahma, as imagined by less intelligent men. The personality of Godhead appeared as he is before Brahma, and he disappeared from him in the same form. Jai Shri Shri Radha Madhav, Sriman Mahaprabhu Sakhi Vrindaki. The personality of Godhead appeared as he is before Brahma, and he disappeared from him in the same form, which is not materially tinged. Thus ends the Bhaktivedanta purports of the third canto, ninth chapter of the Srimad Bhagavatam, entitled Brahma's Prayers for Creative Energy. So I'll read the translation of the two verses that we're going to discuss now. By following my instruction, you can now generate the living entities as before, by dint of your complete Vedic wisdom and the body you have directly received from me, the supreme cause of everything. The sage Maitreya said, after instructing Brahma, the creator of the universe, to expand the primeval Lord, the personality of Godhead in his personal form as Narayan, disappeared. So, in this chapter, Brahma's prayers for creative energy has been described. When Brahma realized the mission of his appearance in this material nature, then Brahma started to pray to the Supreme Personality of Godhead that he empowers him with the necessary potency that he can fulfill his mission, that is, to structure this universe. In the beginning of creation, the universe was a hollow. It was just a shell, just a bubble in the causal ocean. And at that time, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna, expanded himself as Garbhodakshayi Vishnu and entered into the universe and filled up this universe with the water from his own body, and then he laid down on the water in the bed of Anantashesha. And from his navel one lotus sprouted, and Brahma, the first created being in this universe, was situated on that lotus. In the beginning, Brahma did not know who he was, what he was supposed to do, and where he came from. So, that means Brahma in the beginning of creation, or Brahma as he appeared, was in ignorance. Even Brahma, who is the greatest of all living entities in the universe, was in ignorance at the time of his appearance. Therefore it says that by birth, everyone is born in ignorance. By birth, everyone is a Sudra. Janmana Jayate Sudra. But Samaskara Bhavati Dvija. But one receives his second birth by the proper process of purification. And that the process of purification is to receive the Gayatri Mantra, to receive the transcendental knowledge in the form of mantra. By chanting the mantra, one becomes free from material bondage and can go back to the spiritual sky. So Brahma, at the beginning of creation, was in ignorance, and he endeavored, by dint of his own ability, tried to understand who he was. And he tried to understand who he was, where he came from, but Brahma could not find out. He endeavored for many, many years, and with his inconceivable potency, he did all kinds of wonderful things. He climbed down the stem of the lotus and came very close to the navel of the Supreme Personality of Godhead in his search to find out who he was. He thought that if he could find out where he came from, he would find out who he was. And then he would understand what was his mission. But although he came very close to the body of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, he could not understand, or he could not perceive the Supreme Personality of God. That actually proves the fact that with the material eyes, one cannot perceive the transcendental law or the transcendental reality. This material eyes is meant only for material perception. With this material eyes, we can only perceive material things. But transcendental things, adhokshaja, cannot be perceived with this mundane perception. Aprakrita vastu nahi, prakrita gochar. The transcendental object cannot be perceived with material senses. So, Brahma then became frustrated, became afraid, and he came back to the lotus again and sat down. Then he received the instructions of the Lord from within his heart. And Krishna instructed him to perform austerities, and as a result of that austerities, when he withdrew his senses within, he received the Gayatri Mantra from the Supreme Personality of God. And then by chanting the Gayatri Mantra, he perceived the Lord. The Lord appeared to him. Krishna appeared to him, Narayan appeared to him, and he then gave him the Chatushloki Bhagavat. This Chatushloki Bhagavat is the root of transcendental knowledge. Srimad Bhagavatam compressed in just 4 verses. And that Chatushloki Bhagavat revealed in the heart of Brahma. Tene Brahma Rida Adi Kavaye Muihanti Jatsuraya. So in the beginning, directly, the Supreme Personality of Godhead imparted the knowledge unto Brahma in the form of Chatushloki Bhagavat, as Srila Prabhupada mentioned here, that this chapter, the Brahma's prayer, is actually revealing the essence of or analyzing the purpose of Chatushloki Bhagavat. And also Prabhupada is making a point here that from this chapter of Srimad Bhagavatam, it became very, very clear that the Supreme Personality of Godhead existed before the creation. Krishna, as the Mayavadis think, is not a product of Maya. The Mayavadis, followers, the impersonalistic followers in the line of Shankaracharya, consider that the form of the Supreme Personality of Godhead is material. Ultimately, everything is nirakar, nirvishesh, nishaktik, etc. Everything is without form, without potency, without variety, without any qualities. So that is the concept of the Mayavadi. The absolute truth is Brahma, is without any form or without any quality or without any such attribute. And the form of the Lord, the avatars or incarnations are the manifestation of Brahma in the mode of goodness. In Prakriti, in the material nature, there are 3 modes. There are goodness, passion and ignorance. And when Brahma takes the form in the mode of goodness, then that is incarnation. And the Brahma in mode of passion and ignorance are jivas. So when the jivas become free from the modes or free from the influences of the modes of passion and ignorance, and become situated in the mode of goodness, then the jivas can also become Narayan. But ultimately Narayan will also become Brahma. So that is a concocted theory of Shankaracharya. Now, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu smashed that theory when he was discussing with Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in Chaitanya Charitamrita Madhya Leela, 6th chapter, very wonderfully that concept has been defeated. Mahaprabhu just told Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya that those who consider that the form of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, his vigraha, is material, those who consider that his transcendental form is not Satchidananda, eternal, full of knowledge and full of bliss, then he is an atheist. The Buddhists, because they do not accept the Vedas, they are atheists. The Buddhists are Gnostical or atheist. Vedna maniya bodho hoilo nastik. Because the Buddhists do not accept the Vedas, they are nastik. They are impersonal. They are atheist. But Vedashraya nastikko bad buddho ke adhik. But to establish the theory of atheism, giving proofs from the Vedas, is even worse than Buddhism. And that is Mayavad. And Then Mahaprabhu said that the Vedas accept the theory of Parinambha. But Shankaracharya did not accept that Parinambha, the transformation theory, the theory of transformation. But he established, first of all, he said that Vyasdev is wrong. Vyas bhanto boli teho uthailo vibad. He created an argument saying that Vyasdev is wrong. Now Vyasdev, who is an incarnation of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, to establish the Vedas and reveal the Vedas by simplifying it to the ordinary people, Shankaracharya said that Vyasdev is wrong. And instead of Parinambad or modifying or disregarding the Parinambad, the theory of transformation, he established the theory of Vivartavad or the theory of illusion. And then Mahaprabhu said that Mayabadir Bhashya Sunile Hoy Sarvanash. If anyone listens to the commentary of the Mayavadis, then he is doomed. But finally Mahaprabhu said that Shankaracharya is not to be blamed, because according to the instruction of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, he established this theory. Teho agga tar dosh nahi, teho agga kari dash. He is not to be blamed, because he is just an order-abiding servant. But those who listen to his commentary, those who accept his theory of Mayavad, they are in trouble. Not only in trouble, they will be doomed to extinction. Now, the difference of Parinambad and Vivartavad has been very wonderfully analyzed by Baladev Vidyabhushan in Govinda Bhashya. He pointed out, what is Parinambad? Parinambad is a transformation theory. Actually, in the beginning of this chapter also, Brahma said that you are one, but you transform into this material nature. So that theory is accepted, that material nature is a transformation of the energy of the Supreme Personality of God. The Lord doesn't transform himself, but his energy transforms into this material nature. And that also has been established in Brahma Samhita as Kshiram Jatha Dodhi Vikara Vishesha Yoga Sanjayate Nahita Tat Prithagati Heto. The Kshiram Jatha Dodhi Vikara Vishesha Yoga. Just as milk is turned into yogurt, milk is transformed into yogurt. So that is the transformation theory. Or there is a transformation, like milk is transformed into yogurt, is an example of transformation theory. Similarly, Krishna's potency is transformed into material nature in the form of the analysis has been given very elaborately in Srimad Bhagavatam, how the transformation takes place. And Chaitanya Charitamrita also explained that there are two considerations, upadan and nimitta. Nimitta and upadan. Nimitta means cause, and upadan is ingredient. The causal transformation is prakriti. And the ingredient-wise transformation is pradhan. And then, due to the interaction between or due to the influence of the modes of material nature, different types of transformation took place. Like in the mode of goodness, there was vaikarik, and then in the mode of passion, there is toyash ahankar, and then in the mode of ignorance, tamosh ahankar. And this is how the whole material creation actually became manifested. In the beginning of Srimad Bhagavatam also that has been explained as Tejo Badi Mridang Jatha Binimayo Trishango Amrisha. This material nature is actually a transformation of the ingredients of the material nature, namely Tejo means fire, Badi means water, and Mrit means earth. Earth, water, fire, air, ether, this Pancha Mahabhut, these five ingredients of this material element, five ingredients of the material creation, as they interact with each other, different forms took place. But Vivartavad is the theory of illusion. Theory of illusion, Shankaracharya gave the example of first he said, Brahma Satya Jagat Mitha. Brahma is truth, but Jagat, this material nature, is false. So that is the basis of illusion. This material nature is false. Only Brahma is truth. Everything else is false. Anything that has form, anything that has variety, anything that has any other attribute is false. And then he established the theory of illusion or Vivartavad by saying that just as one mistakes a rope to be a snake, just as one mistakes a mother of pearl to be silver, and just as one mistakes a mirage to be an oasis, similarly this material nature is mithya. But later on, the Vaishnava Acharyas defeated that theory, Jai Shri Radha Madhava. Namely, Ramanujacharya smashed the theory of Shankaracharya by saying that fine, you are saying that just as a rope is mistaken to be a snake, this material nature is a mistaken concept. Now, the snake may not be there in the rope, but somewhere the snake is existing. Therefore, there is a question of mistaking a rope to be a snake. If there was no snake, then there was no question of mistaking a rope to be a snake. If there was no water, there was no question of mistaking the mirage to be water. If there was no silver, there was no question of mistaking the mother of pearl or Shukti to be silver. So the reality, maybe this is not the real reality, but somewhere the reality is existing. That's why we are mistaking this material nature to be real. And in a very simple way, Ramanujacharya defeated Shankaracharya's Vivartavad and he established Shuddha Dvaitavad. So in this way the Vaishnava Acharyas defeated this misconception of Mayavad and re-established the Parinamvad, and through Parinamvad they approached the Supreme Personality of Godhead. As it has been established through the Chatushloki Bhagavatam in essence, in summary. The first two verses of Chatushloki Bhagavatam describes about Sambandha, the relationship between the Lord and the creation and the living entity. And the second verse, the third verse describes the Prayojan Tattva. And the fourth verse is describing Abhidheya Tattva, the means to approach that Supreme Personality of God. Prabhupada mentioned often in his purport that Shankaracharya did not touch Srimad Bhagavatam. Because if he approached Srimad Bhagavatam, then there wouldn't have been any room for his Mayavad. He only accepted a few secondary concepts of Upanishad. That also has been explained in Chaitanya Charitamrita. It says that pranav she mahavakya veder nidan. That the pranav, that omkar, which is actually synonymous to Radha Krishna, is the mahavakya of the Vedas. But Shankaracharya did not accept pranav as the mahavakya. He accepted some secondary statements of the Vedas like Tattamasi, Sarvakhalidam Brahma, etc. And he has accepted Tattamasi as Mahavakya, which is only a secondary statement of Upanishad. Tattamasi Shetoketu. The Shetoketu, you are that. And through that secondary statement, Shankaracharya tried to establish that that is the meaning and that is the understanding of pranav. So Shankaracharya's approach from the very beginning was deceptive. He actually came to cheat a bunch of cheaters. The atheistic people were the degraded demoniac people were creating a lot of disturbance. Therefore Shankaracharya came to just put them aside in a special world so that their influence cannot contaminate the simple-hearted innocent people. So Shankaracharya, according to the instructions of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, established this Divartavad or Mayavad. But he did not touch Srimad Bhagavatam, because Bhagavatam from the very beginning is presenting the Supreme Personality of Godhead as the cause of all causes and His nature as the absolute reality, and this material nature is the manifestation of His external potency, and the living entities are the marginal potency. That has been very, very clearly established in Srimad Bhagavatam. Now if we consider the Chatushloki Bhagavatam, we can see how wonderfully Krishna actually revealed that fact to Brahma in the beginning. The first verse of Chatushloki Bhagavatam says, Aham evasham evagre nanna jad sadasat param paschad aham jade tachya jo avashishvate so ashmiyam. Aham evasham evagre nanna jad sadasat param. Before the manifestation of Sat and Asat, Sat means growth and here Asat means subtle. And Param means the cause of this growth and subtle, that is Pradhan. That even before the manifestation of this growth, subtle and the causal material creation, I existed. Sadasat Param. Paschadaham jade tachya. And even when the creation became manifested, then also I am existing in them. And when the creation will be annihilated, then also I will be existing. Jo avashishyate. Avashishyate means remnant or residue. What will exist, what will remain after the annihilation, that is also me. Then the second verse is for pointing out, Rite artham jat protieta, na protieta chatmani, tadvidya atmano mayam, jatha bhasho, jatha tamo. Rite artham jat protieta, na protieta chatmani. When living entities do not see me, Rite, without my perception, without my awareness, the living entity perceives this material nature. And as long as the living entity perceives this material nature, he cannot perceive me. Just as long as one perceives the shadow, he doesn't see the main object. And as long as one is in darkness, he cannot see the light. Jatha bhasho, jatha tamo. Abhash means reflection, tamo means darkness. So in Chaitanya Charitamrita it has been pointed out, Krishna surya samo maya hai andhokar, যাহা কৃষ্ণ তাহা নাহি, মায়ার অধিকার। কৃষ্ণ ইজ লাইক দ্য সান অ্যান্ড মায়া ইজ লাইক ডার্কনেস। And just as with the appearance of sun, the darkness disappears, similarly, as soon as Krishna appears, or wherever Krishna is, Maya doesn't have the right to enter into that region. Jaha Krishna, wherever there is Krishna, Maya doesn't have the right to enter there. So in this way, it has been very clearly pointed out that this material nature is a reflection of the spiritual reality. So material nature is dependent upon the spiritual reality or the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Just as the shadow cannot exist without the real object, similarly this material nature couldn't be manifest without the Supreme Reality, the spiritual sky. Then the third verse, now through these two verses, the Sambandha Gyan has been established. Now what is the Sambandha? Krishna is everlasting. Krishna exists beyond this material creation. And Krishna exists beyond this material creation, and this material creation is a reflection of the spiritual reality. And as long as the living entities are absorbed in this material nature, they cannot possibly understand the transcendental reality. And when the living entities become absorbed in transcendental reality or Krishna consciousness, then the material nature doesn't exist for them. Now here, another very important, very wonderful point has been made by Srila Prabhupada in his purport of this verse. Prabhupada actually is pointing out in his purport that although it is said that Krishna is alone, that Krishna exists, that I exist before material creation and after material creation, that doesn't mean that Krishna exists alone. Just as a king, when it is said that the king is going, it doesn't mean that the king is going alone. It is automatically understood that the king is along with the entourage, along with the king, his ministers, his soldiers, his generals are also going with him. Similarly, when Krishna exists with his full opulence and full paraphernalia and entourage in the spiritual sky. To think that the Supreme Personality of Godhead, after annihilation of this material nature, he exists all by himself, will be a mistake. Actually, in the spiritual sky, Krishna exists with his all opulence. Now, the third verse, as I was saying, the third verse is saying, Jatha Mahanti Bhutani Bhuteshu Chash Chagashanu Pravishthanna Pravishthani Pravishthanna Pravishthani Tathateshu Nateshvaham Jatha Mahanti Bhutani Bhuteshu Uccha Shu Avacha Anu. Just as the Mahabhutas, the earth, water, air, fire and ether. Just as this Pancha Mahabhut, the five ingredients of this material creation exist within and with and without. Like the living entities, bodies are made of these five elements. But these five elements are also existing separately without the living entities. Like these five elements of this material nature are all pervading. Similarly, I also exist, pravishthani, apravishthani, pravishthanna pravishthani. Like I exist within and without of every living entity. Now which living entities that the Lord
in which living entities the Lord exists within and without. Those who are His devotees, those who are His, those who are engaged in loving devotional service. For them, their within is Krishna and their without also is Krishna. And it has been explained that how Krishna actually, why Krishna appears from without. And not only that the devotees perceive the Supreme Personality of Godhead within their heart, but also without, Krishna reciprocates. Je yatha mam prapadyante, tam tathaiva bhajam. Just as one loves me, accordingly I will reciprocate. Just as one serves me, accordingly I will serve them. The devotees want to serve Krishna and Krishna reciprocates by offering the fragrance of His body. And as the fragrance of His body enters into their nostrils, they become overwhelmed with joy. Just as the sea, Krishna's transcendental form, the most beautiful form standing in front of them, they become overwhelmed with joy. As Krishna speaks to them in His most sweet voice, and the sound vibration as they enter into their ears, they become submerged in an ocean of ecstasy. So in this way, Krishna allows them to enjoy Him just as He enjoys them. And in order to do that, Krishna appears without. And what to speak of when Krishna embraces them with His youthful, with the touch of His youthful body. So in this way, Krishna reciprocates with His devotees. And that reciprocation takes place both from within and without. And that is the prayajan, the prema. And the fourth verse is, fourth verse of Chatushloki Bhagavatam is Etavadeva Jigyasham. Forgetting the next one. Etavadeva Jigyasham. Tattva Jigyasunatmanaha. Etavadeva Jigyasham. Tattva Jigyasunatmanaha. Annaya vyati rekabhang jat sat sarvatra sarvada. That what is the, how then the Supreme Personality of Godhead should be approached? The etavadeva jigyasam, one must approach a bona fide spiritual master, a person who is situated in knowledge. And he must inquire from him with sincere submission, and annaya bhati rekabham, directly and indirectly, jat sat sarvatra sarvada, all the time, at all places, under all circumstances. So this is the essence of Srimad Bhagavatam, this is the essence of all the Vedas, and this knowledge has been revealed by the Supreme Personality of Godhead through Brahma, and it is still flowing in the disciplic succession from Brahma, Brahma to Narad, Narad to Vyas, and then Vyasdev expanded this knowledge, and then it has been further modified or further elaborated by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and other acharyas in Madhva Gauriya Vaishnava Sampradaya. Hare Krishna, all glories to Srila Prabhupada. Any comments or questions? Yes, ma'am.
When you were discussing Shankaracharya, you described that his assigned mission was to protect the simple-minded people. Could you explain technically how that's working? I didn't really understand
how. Yeah. Yeah. Actually, there are two reasons why Shankaracharya came. I'll just go back into Buddhism. So,
নিন্দসি যজ্ঞ বিধেয়রাহ শ্রুতি জাতাম সদয় হৃদয় দর্শিত পশু ঘাতাম কেশব ধৃত বুদ্ধ শরীর। Like, in order to stop animal sacrifice, which was going on in the name of Vedic injunction, in Vedic sacrifice, Lord Buddha, Krishna came, Keshava came as Buddha, and he stopped this animal sacrifice. And in order to stop animal sacrifice, he actually had to reject the Vedas, because animal sacrifice was going on in the name of the Vedas. So, you know, so he just said, there is no need for the Vedas. And the ultimate goal of life is to become good, and there are 10 ways of becoming good, and the ultimate goal of life is to attain nirvana, and nirvana means to merge into nothing, to become nothing, sunya. So then after that, so after that the Buddhism spread all over, and Vedic culture was actually completely subdued or covered over. Now, in order to re-establish the Vedas, there was Shankaracharya was assigned to come. Krishna assigned Shankaracharya with the mission to re-establish the Vedas. So, Shankaracharya, in order to re-establish the Vedas, he actually used the Buddhist theory. If he presented the Vedas as it is, then the Buddhists wouldn't have accepted that. They said, well, that is your concept, we don't accept it. So he actually used their theory to defeat them. And he said, you all are talking about Nirvana, but Nirvana is not a Buddhist concept. Nirvana is actually a Vedic concept. And the meaning of Nirvana is not to become nothing, but Nirvana actually means to merge into absolute Brahman. So in this way, just as a theater, as one picks a thorn with another thorn, Shankaracharya uprooted Buddhism and re-established the Vedas. But he could not establish the Vedas in his complete theory. So he presented a distorted theory, which is called a temporary shastra, a temporary theory, a temporary conclusion of the Vedas. Mayavada Asat Shastra Prachanda Bodha Uchyate, which is known as covered Buddhism. Buddhism is atheism, and Mayavada is covered Buddhism. But the purpose of the Vedas is to reveal the identity of the Supreme Personality of God. But Shankaracharya didn't do that. So, in order to do that, the Vaishnava Acharya came. Now, although apparently it seems that Shankaracharya actually presented a distorted and dangerous theory, but actually, comparatively, compared to Buddhism, it was a progress. Right? Because through establishing that theory, he re-established the Vedas. And then, the Vaishnava Acharyas, like Ramanujacharya, Madhvacharya, came and established the Vaishnava theory, or the essence, the real theory of the Vedas. Yeah.
I can see how that was saving the religious leaders and the intellectuals and taking them away from Buddhism and bringing them to the establishment. But how, what did that have to do with the common people? I didn't understand. You made a reference to the common people, the simple-minded people, how it was in their attitude.
Yeah. The, you see, when Buddhism was prominent, first of all, you see, the natural tendency of the common people is to follow the leading people. So those days, the Buddhists were actually the leading spiritual leaders, right? Then common people were innocently following. They were not so much into the philosophy and things, but they were just following. You know, because others are following them, they were following them. So Shankaracharya came and defeated them, and he established the Vedas and pointed out that the Vedic principle is actually the main essence. But there is another concept. That's why I said that there are two reasons. One is this reason,
And the other reason is that there are demoniac people, those who are competitors to the Lord. But and their influence also is very, very dangerous. Therefore, in order to put them in another separate chamber altogether, this Vivartavad has been established. Like those who are atheistic, demoniac people, let them compete with the Lord by trying to become Brahma. But let innocent people be left to follow the process of devotional service.
Yes, Gauranga Prem.
No, Brahma actually became Haridas Thakur afterwards. Brahma became Haridas Thakur. Now that's also another very important point. Krishna, actually it has been explained that in the beginning, Krishna is telling Brahma that in the beginning you are in the mode of passion. Often devotees question, actually that question came up the other day when I was giving the Bhagavad Gita class, that Brahma is our Param Guru. He is our, the mode, special the mode of passion. But because you are surrendered,